28 January 04, and we were at a good part in studying SAD. Got a nice email in regard to the study that was always encouraging. George Patton, you gave him a gallon of gas, he'd go another 100 miles. Give me one compliment on a series, and I'm good for another 6 months. Not quite, but so we will continue tonight in that. Let's begin with the word of prayer, orienting ourselves to our study. Yes, sir. Yes, please. Melinda Tucker's mother. Now, Melinda, I've met Melinda. In fact, I've met her mother, talked with them. Lived next door to Steve Ferrati. And she's got cancer, and it's pretty much taken over her body. And so please be in prayer for Melinda as well as her mother and this difficult time. This is a difficult thing, so please be in prayer. Let's begin with a word of prayer, ordering ourselves to our study. We can see what God is doing. Let's pray. A lot of Christians hurt, Heavenly Father. You know it. They experience and suffer stress and depression. It affects their Christian life. It affects their marriage, their daily outlook. It affects their prayer life, relationship with other Christians, their view of you. And the unfortunate thing, Heavenly Father, is that you have so designed this that Christians do not need to experience and suffer from stress and depression. You have provided everything necessary to give us peace and joy in our souls. Pray, Father, that you'll guide us in this study as we're on the ending side of this, closing it up with what you would have us to see in this study, Father. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Now, we are studying right now. We left off last week in a very important aspect of our study. And what I'm doing right now is, how y'all doing this evening? What I'm doing right now is we have spent some time in this study, looking at the flesh nature. I want you to understand that in the greater percentage of experiencing of stress, anxiety, and depression is a flag that we are in the flesh nature. Now, we spent quite a lengthy amount of time in the beginning of our study in noting the flesh nature is continually being corrupted all of your life. We have noted that it is deceitful above all else. We've noted that it is incurably sick or incurably wounded. And we have noted that it is insane and full of evil. That's who you are in the flesh. And we've built on that through the study. But during the midst of, from the beginning of the study of stress, anxiety, and depression, God has opened up a wonderful, intriguing aspect of this to add to our study that I wanted you to have on this series of stress, anxiety, and depression, dealing with the basic instincts of man. Because a lot of the combination of our flesh nature, living under Satan's lie that my self-worth is made up of my performance plus others' opinion of me, living under law, all these things combined with what we're looking at now, you're not amazed. In fact, we're more amazed that more Christians do not experience stress, anxiety, and depression than do. And so if we can zero in on this aspect of it, we can zero in on the cure of it. And what we're looking at right now is the basic instincts of man, and I want it on this series. We've got it on another series, but I want it on this series because it is prevalent to this series. It is important to this series in understanding why we experience stress and depression. To understand our basic instinct. And we have looked at Jude chapter 1, verse 10. That which they do not know, they do by instinct, and it will kill them. And we've studied that. And the basic instinct, and we've seen this last week, the basic instinct of man is to perform and to be recognized for that performance, rewarded, recognized, and carrying with it the ideal and the basic instinct of man, not from God, but from the basic instinct of man, I need to be punished if I do not perform. And we can look at Genesis. We won't do too much more, but we can look at Genesis, the story of Cain and Abel. I can show you the basic instinct at operation once they fail with Cain. And then all through the Bible with Job when we get into Job. And last week, we looked at Romans chapter 2, verses 12 through 15. Man does law by instinct. And we noted that the law is written in their hearts to do, perform. Then we noted Colossians chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. We are led away from the truth, deceived by false teachers who use fine-sounding arguments, persuasive arguments to lead us away from the truth. Remember the fundamental concepts of a persuasive argument. A well-defined argument is one, for the Christian, one, it comes from the Bible. It is found in the Bible, and two, it appeals to the basic instinct of man, and man says that's right, and he is deceived away, led away from the truth. Then we ended last week with looking at Isaiah 28, 9 through 13, where you are taken captive by the persuasive arguments of the false teachers. Now, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. I am going through this basic instinct in this study rather quickly, and that may be a shame, because it really applies to why people experience stress and depression, this whole thing of the basic instinct, but I want you to at least be aware of it, and you can get it on other series. You can get it on our Jude series, a more lengthy study of this. Now, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. Let's just read this. Again, I'm not spending a great deal of time as we have before, but at least have you aware of it. Verse 1 of Ephesians chapter 2, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins. Now, this is when you were an unbeliever. The key word there is dead in your trespasses and in sin. And that's how we are when we're a believer and we sin. We're spiritually dead temporarily. Here, that is your status. Verse 1, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world. Now, what's the course of the world? That's the basic instincts. According to the prince and the power of the air. Now, who's that? That's not Santa Claus. That's Satan. So, he is the power of the prince of the air. Of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. That is Satan and his demonic system, cosmic system. Which, by the way, when a believer functions in that area, he's going to experience stress and depression because you're in an area you ought not be. Verse 3. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh. Indulging. Now, see, this is going to sound like sex, like most people think the basic instinct is sex, but you got to pay attention. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. Among them, we too formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Or the NIV, I like the NIV here. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature. Now, what are these desires? Most preachers will tell you, oh, this is for sex, and this is for this and that. Well, what are the real cravings of our sinful nature? And if you miss this, you miss the battle and what the battle is all about. What are the real cravings of our sinful nature? What is the deepest craving? What is the deepest craving of our sin nature? To be recognized for what you do. That's the deepest craving. To be recognized for what you do. To get rewards for what you do. We could study Cain. Study Job. Study all the way through to be rewarded, to be recognized. And when you're not, like Cain, you become angry. In marriage, so many people experience stress and depression. After all I do for you, wife says to her husband says to her wife, parents to their children, after all I do, and you don't, you do this, you do that. She never says thank you. He never says thank you. I never can do enough. I never can do it good. I never can do it right. Never good enough. What we're talking about here is this basic instinct of man. We want to be recognized for what we do. So we think about Satan's lie. Satan's lie. My self-worth. Seeking my self-worth is what? My performance. What I do. And then the second part, what's that? Others' opinion of me. It's very depressing when others' opinion of you is very low. David has many psalms of how he was the repulse of other people. They would see him on the street and they would go on the other side of the street. This is very burdensome to the soul. And it's a natural basic instinct. We want to be recognized and thought of well. We want to do well. But to get recognized for it. Now, people, as you begin to see this, you begin to understand what happened to Cain, what happened to Job. If you read the Cain account, you're going to be hard-pressed to find something he did wrong. You're going to be hard-pressed to find what he did wrong. And we'll do the same thing with Job. Look at Genesis 4 again. This is so important, and you'll understand a lot of your own stress and anger and hurt. Look at Genesis chapter 4 very quickly. We'll go through it quickly here. I've spent a lot of time on it in our Jude study, but not in this study, so here we'll just note it. All right, we'll pick up the story in verse 3. So it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord and of the fruit of the ground. Now, look at that. He wasn't asked to do it. He just wanted to bring an offering to the Lord. Isn't that great? We would say that's great. That's a good attitude. That's a good, right attitude. That's a right attitude. I want to bring an offering to the Lord. And Abel, on his part, also brought of the firstlings of the flock and of their fat portions. So they both brought an offering. And the Lord had regard for Abel and for his offering, but for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. He rejected it. So Cain has brought his offering, and God has said, I don't want it. Now look what happened to Cain. Cain became very angry, and his countenance fell. Stress, anger, a lot of things that we've studied. Things that happen to you when you're not rewarded, when you're not recognized for what you do. Your countenance falls. Your countenance falls. I was talking to a lady in the gym today. We just started talking, working in the same machine area. And under a lot of stress right now, job, different things going on in her life. And she said, I just find it really difficult to even come into the gym. And we started talking about how that's when you really need to be in the gym. And then, of course, I threw in the spiritual, but I could see she wasn't biting onto that. But that's what happens. Things start really getting bad and we become angry. We're not recognized for our value. So Cain becomes angry and his countenance falls. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? The idea, why are you angry with me? And why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, well now, see, we got to know what that means. What did he not do well? He brought him an offering, certainly of his best. You do well. That's a word that comes by the definition, what is doing well. If you do well, Paul in Galatians chapter 5, you remember a study, you were running well. So I got to define what that means. If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? See, that sounds like this performance thing, doesn't it? If you perform well, then your countenance will be lifted up. The stress will go away. I can make a great sermon that way. And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door and its desires is for you, but you must master it. Cain told his brother Abel, And it came about when they were in the field. That's important in our study in Jude and Revelation, in the field. The battlefield of Armageddon is going to be in the battlefield. The first death here is on the field. That's, God plays that through the three battles. But anyway, and that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. Oh, well, then that's it. See, that there it is right there. If you want to know what Cain did wrong, he killed his brother. And now later on, God's going to put a curse on Cain. A lot of stuff's going to happen with Cain. Now, let's talk about that. David killed. God didn't do this to David. Moses killed. Murdered. David murdered. Moses murdered. So, there's something else going on here. We have more going on here than that. You can't just say, oh, well, it's because he murdered. Well, there are a lot of people that murdered in the Bible that God carried on in different ways. Not anything like this, with a curse and banned and all that. So we have something going on here. Okay, let's ask ourselves a question. Why did Cain's countenance fall? Because what he gave God was not recognized. His work, his performance, his offering was not recognized. It's a basic instinct of man. People, all God had to say, all God had to say was, thank you, Cain. And Abel would, you know, not still be alive, but Abel would be alive. That's all God had to do was pat him on the head and say, thank you, and Cain would have felt very good. So we can make a case that God looks bad here until we understand what's going on. Cain wanted a relationship with God based on his performance, and that's the way religious Christians are. I want a relationship with God based on my performance. And when that doesn't happen, like with Job, doesn't happen, the countenance falls and we become angry. So, please begin to see what we just saw. What is the deepest craving of our sin nature? To be recognized for what you do. To be rewarded for what you do. So, this is dealing with Satan's lie. It's a principle of the law. It appeals. It's the appeal of the law. And it's the appeal of Satan's lie. Appeals to these things. Why people prefer that they have to do something to be saved? It's basic instinct. Why do people prefer that you do something rather than just faith to be saved eternally or to be restored from sin? If you tell me I've got to repent, good, then I get to do something. I know what to do and I can do that. And I want to be rewarded for my repentance. I want to be rewarded for my confession. I want to be rewarded for this. And if I do that, then God will do for me. And that appeals to us. And a preacher comes along, false teachers come along, say, here's what you got to do to be saved eternally. Here's what you got to do to be restored from sin. And we lap on to it because it appeals to our basic instinct. I get to do my part, and I need to do something. You say, no, it's just by faith alone to be saved eternally. No, can't be that way. That doesn't satisfy my basic instinct. Not only does it not satisfy it, it causes it to go into turmoil. I want to be a part of it. Same thing for salvation too, or being recovered from sin. Being made spiritually alive when we're dead in sin as Christians. I want to have something I have to do. Confess, repent, feel sorry, do something that I have to do. Can it be just by faith? No. My basic instinct says it's got to be something I perform. Why do we have to do something to be restored from sin? Why not just faith, why do we have to? It's our basic instinct. It's a basic craving. Here it is. Here's a good wording of our passage. It is the basic craving to do something and be recognized. That's a basic craving. Start looking at your own life, movies, books. You'll see this run the gamut. When sex isn't even involved. Because sex is not the basic craving. The basic craving underneath it all is this whole thing of being recognized and rewarded. Sex plays into it because we do something and we want sex for it. And then even in the actual act, a great deal of that is made about performance. And we want to be rewarded. We want to be praised. We want to be this. We want to be that. So it plays its play there in the history of man. But I want you to understand something. That is not the basic craving of man. The basic craving of man is I want to be recognized and be rewarded. It's the deepest craving of man. Got to think about this. When are people often hurt in marriage and in romance? when what they do is not enough. When the other person does not respond in a favorable way. When you do something special. You do something special for your husband, for your wife. And you don't get rewarded for it. You don't get recognized. They don't compliment. They don't praise you in some way. Most professionals teach in teaching our children. What do they say? Reward them in every way. People I'm talking about from the very beginning. Oh, you get praised and you get rewarded. They learn how to use the little potty. And if they learn how to tie their little shoes. And if they learn how to eat with their little fork and their little spoon. And you praise them and that encourages them. We want that. It's part of our basic instinct. It's a part of our basic instinct to be. It's a craving. We have a craving in the basic nature of our flesh to be rewarded. And when faith and grace comes along and says, no, it has nothing to do with you, that's just totally opposed to our basic instinct. So when we're suffering from stress and depression, you know one thing, I'm in this system of the flesh. I'm in this basic instinct of the flesh, and I'm not getting what I want, and I'm just frustrated and depressed. Depressed with my life, and depressed that my life, after all I've done, and this is where I end up, and this and that, become very stressful. Pain takes over. Deepest craving is to be recognized for performance, for what you do. Your flesh nature, your sin nature, desires to vault itself up. To vault itself up to be like God. Just like Satan does. Oh, appeal to Eve in the garden. Be like God. Vault yourself up. I haven't done it yet. I don't know where I'll do it. Maybe some kind of a special. Maybe I'll do a Valentine's special, but it'll be longer than that, so I won't do it. But how the flesh nature, this basic instinct, is totally opposed to spiritual love. Spiritual love does not vault itself up. Spiritual love does not need to be praised. Spiritual love does not even consider when wronged. Spiritual love is totally antithetical to our basic instinct, our basic cravings to be recognized. Spiritual love is totally opposed to that. When you're walking in the Holy Spirit and He pours in His fruit, spiritual love being there, you won't have this. You won't have this because that's not the nature of love. That's not the basic instinct of love. The basic instinct of spiritual love is not to be recognized, not to be rewarded, but that you are rewarded and that you are recognized. That's what love does. Therefore, this is the source of deep hurt. SAD, stress, anxiety, depression. Failure to perform hurts deeply. Failure to perform hurts deeply. Causing us to think that we ourselves are undeserving of love, undeserving of things, and deserve to be punished. And back in school, some people never have experienced it, but if you made an F along the way and you didn't do well on the test, you get frustrated and you don't like yourself. You become very angry at yourself. You have a deep hurt, and especially if you've tried. How many times do you hear children in elementary, junior high, high school, college, seminary, graduate school, boy, I really studied, and it didn't pay off. And it just makes me so angry. I don't know what more I can do. I do not know what more I can do. I even had an A student write my paper for me, and I still got a C. I don't know what else I can do. I just can't do it. I can't do enough for this teacher. I can't do enough to learn this. I got tutors, and I did this, and I did that. And I'm not getting rewarded for the amount of effort I'm putting in. If I put in so much effort, okay, I made an F, and that's okay because I didn't study for it. We handle that a little better. Yeah, I didn't study, so that's okay. But boy, doesn't it hurt when you did study, and you did prepare, and you did your work, and it didn't pay off. Hurts inside. Basic instinct. Basic instinct. Basic instinct. So it's a source of great stress, anxiety, and depression. This is the deepest cravings of so many Christians all their lives. They never get out from under this. this desire to perform and to be rewarded. I'll just let you know, getting ready to study Job and the basic instincts at the heart of Job. He starts off in Job 1:1, all the great things he does for God, and he expects to be blessed. He is blessed, and he expects the blessing to continue as long as he continues doing his part. And all of a sudden, disaster hits Job, and Job loses his countenance and becomes angry. Why? Basic instinct. I performed, and God didn't reward. Okay, let's continue reading the text now. Let's continue reading the text in Ephesians chapter 2. Among them, verse 3, among them we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Okay, of the mind. The mind that is, see people, mind is where the battle is. What did we study with AMFM? Mindset. Mindset. It's in your mind. What does the Bible say? The mind that is set on Him. That is the mind set on who and what Jesus Christ is, not on who and what you are and what you do. You're not, your mind isn't set on who and what you are and what you do. Your mind is set on Him and what He does and His performance. What happens? Perfect peace. Perfect peace. Inside. No stress, anxiety, depression. But you get your mind set on yourself and your relationship with God. I'm a sinner, and I failed, and I did this, and nobody likes me, and this is happening, and da-da-da. You know, no peace. But even in that circumstance, you just sit back and get your mind set on Him. Not on your performance or failures, but on His performance and His love. And watch what starts happening in your mind. A peace starts taking over. The mind that is set on Him, thou will keep him in perfect peace. See, that's opposed to our flesh nature, our basic instinct, basic cravings. Continuing verse 3, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. Now, what is that, by nature, children of wrath? Well, you want me to go back to Cain with you? What did he do? Killed his brother. You want me to go to Job, David, all the way through the Bible? Children of wrath. People, when we don't get that basic instinct satisfied, wrath. Wrath sets out. Go back to verse 2 and look at something in verse 2 with this. According to the prince of the power of the air. That's Satan. What's his craving? His craving is to be like God. That's our craving, people. Eve. Eve wanted to be like God. Be recognized for it. Now, false teachers do his work for him. He went to Eve, but false teachers come to us and feed us and play upon our basic instincts. Here's one for you. You can write it down if you want to think about it. Maybe you don't agree with it, but you think about it. Basic instinct, the deepest craving of man is to be like God. I can show you that through the Bible, starting with Eve. The deepest craving of man is to be good like God. That's why we like the law. The law is going to make me good like God. If I do the law, I'll be good like God. It's the deepest craving. Now, I know you've probably never been told that. You've always been told that the basic instincts and the cravings of man has to do with sex. I'm here to tell you what the Bible says. The deepest craving of man is to be like God. Be good like God. That's the deepest craving. And that's why, you remember a passage we saw in the study last week. We'll go back and forth in Romans. Go back and forth. Condemning ourselves, praising ourselves. Condemning ourselves, condemning or praising ourselves. We go back and forth. Condemning and defending. Condemning and defending ourselves. Want to be like God. Want to be good. And when we're not good, we condemn. Come down on ourselves. We don't perform. Please get it down. The basic instinct, the deepest craving, is to be good like God. And we're by nature instinct, natural instinct, children of wrath, even as the rest. What's it referring to? Living under the law. Our basic craving is to be recognized for what we do, works. But we fail, we can't perform. So we're what? We're lawbreakers. Wretched man that I am. And what's a lawbreaker? He's under wrath. children of wrath. People, this is not of God. This is not of God. This is our basic instinct. All that we're looking at is a basic natural cravings instinct of man. All this is appealed to by the false teachers in teaching us how to do things for God. This is why we all fall for the performance trap. And this is why so many Christians experience stress and depression. This is not of God. Next verse is God. Take a look at verse 4. But God. Here's God. Up to now hasn't been God. Basic cravings are not of God. Basic craving to be good, be like God, is not of God. Here it is. But God. Being rich in mercy. Because of His great love with which He loved us. Not because you deserved to be loved. That's something. But He loves you in spite of the sinful flesh. He loves you in spite of your sinful flesh. Verse 5. Even when we were dead in our transgressions, God made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Do you see what He's saying here, people? It's not your performance. It is not your performance. It is not your hard work. It is not you being good. It is not your basic instincts works. It's by grace. Totally opposed to our basic instinct. That's why man either one rejects faith or two perverts it and changes the definition. You talk to many religious people and they'll tell you, if you do this and God saves you, that's grace. People, that's not grace. For salvation, one, or eternal life. If you will join this church, get yourself in this ritual like baptism or something, if you will walk a mile, if you will invite Jesus into your heart, if you will make Him Lord, all these things, then God will save you, and that's grace. That's not grace, that's works. Grace is by faith only and faith alone. Passive, receiving. Faith is a passive. Same thing for salvation too, or spirituality when we sin. A lot of people change the definition of sin of grace now. Well, grace means that if you will do this, if you will confess, then God will restore you. If you will repent, then God will restore you. If you will feel sorry, then God will restore you, depending on what their list is. That's not grace. And you know that's not grace. But you're trying to explain away what you're trying to hold on to. You know what grace is, people. Grace is unearned, undeserved, received by faith. So let's go on with our passage. It's a powerful passage. So we take up that parenthesis in verse 5. By grace, you have been saved. God made us alive. Not by our performance, people. Why so many distort what grace is all about? Distort grace into some form of performance, some system of performance. Verse 6. And raised us up with Him. See, that's what God did. He crucified our flesh nature with Christ and then raised us up with Him. Raised you up a new being. People, God does not try to make you a better person. God doesn't try to straighten out your basic instinct. God doesn't try to counter all those five things that we studied, been studying all along, the five natures of the flesh nature, all these things. God just crucifies all of that. And with our basic instinct, He does not take your basic instinct and work with it. It's dead. And then it says, and raised up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places. And we studied that. That's where, people, that's where you dwell. Oh, hurting Christian, stop looking around at others. Stop looking at your house, your paycheck, your car, or the absence of those things the way you want them, your friends, accomplishments. Stop looking at all that. Your whole realm of existence is in a higher realm in the heavens. In Jesus Christ. God does all this without your performance, just by your faith. Look at verse 7 now. In order that, oh, I love that. I love that in the Greek. Just, it gives you whatever's come up now, all this in order that in the ages to come, he might show. Now, if ages to come, that's a future, that's eternity future, after the resurrection, after the millennium, going into heaven, to the third heaven, to the new heavens, new earth. Now, look what he's going to do. What's heaven like? Is heaven, are we going to eat? Is there going to be sex? Are we going to recognize each other? Is there going to be this? Are we going to this and that? Let me tell you what heaven's going to be like. Here it is, look. He might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. What's heaven going to be like? Experiencing the kindness of God, the riches of his kindness through all eternity. Now that's heaven. That's remarkable. And it's not because of your performance. Well, know what heaven's like? It's going to be God showing us, demonstrating to us the kindness of his love. Eternity is abiding in the kindness of the love of God. Don't be afraid of it, people. Why do you fear going there? And why do you hold on to things here? Now, verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works. Oh, gosh, do you see it? Do you see how many ways God tries to show you? Get off of the performance trap. Get out of your basic instincts. Not of works, not as a result of works, that no one should boast. Say, where does that come from? Where does that come from? Because, people, it is our basic instinct to be recognized for our performance. Do you see it? I hope I'm communicating this where you start seeing it without a teacher. Wow, yeah. Not of a result of works, that no one should boast. Where does that come from? Because it's a basic instinct of man to be recognized for my performance. I invited Jesus into my heart. I made him Lord. I repented. I confessed. I felt sorry. I joined the church. I changed my life. Do and do. Little here and little there. Whatever the church you go to, whatever their list is, you feel good about it if you do it. The battle of faith. If you're a note taker, you want to take time and write this. The battle of faith is a war against our basic instincts. And I don't mean by that to sin. I mean by that to be rewarded and recognized for what we do. Let me repeat that now. The battle of faith. Why it's so hard to just accept it that all you have to do to be saved eternally is faith. Why it's so hard to accept that all you have to do is faith in the Holy Spirit to be restored from sin. Why is faith so difficult? The battle of faith is a war against our basic instinct. It is so against just trusting him. Our basic instinct is. Now look at verse 10. For we are his workmanship, not our own. Not our own. So, here God does the work. God does the good works. People just can't get away from the fact they've got to work for God. It's the most difficult thing to do. Yeah, I bet I have heard since the early 90s when God started me on this journey, I've heard thousands of times, yeah, but we've got to do for God. You've got to do for him. You've got to work. You've got to perform. Man just wants to work. He cannot accept the fact that all we do is trust his Spirit, and his Spirit works in us and works through us. It's not me witnessing. It's not me giving. It's not me doing those things. People, please understand 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter about love. Love is kind. Love is not arrogant. Love does not boast. Love is long-suffering. All the things about love. Remember, the subject is love. The fruit of the Spirit, not you. You are not long-suffering. You are not kind. You are not those things. Love is. Love is the subject. It's God doing the work in and through us, and we just can't stand that. But boy, once you do, Once you settle down at peace and you just say, I'm going to let God work. I'm going to let God lead me. I'm going to let God work in me. Such a peace. Such a peace. But we want to take credit for it. Verse 10, for we are workmanship, His workmanship, not our own. Not our own. This is why it's the great battle of faith. That's why many false teachers come along and teach you. It's persuasive. It's from the Bible. It's appealing to our basic instinct to go out and do things for God. Don't you want to go out and work for God now? God died on a cross for you. Jesus died on a cross for you. Don't you want to go out and do great things for God? It sounds good. Who wants to say no to that? Preacher stands up there, boy, you want to get out there and work for God. Look what you owe Christ now. Look, and it just, yeah, boy, He did die for me, and He bore all of that for me. And yeah, I want to do great things for Him. Let's all get up and go do things. God, let's go out, as the old expression, let's go chase hell with a bucket of water. Let's go. Let's get in this thing. Christ died for me. I want to do for Him. And it sounds so good, but oh, stand back. Stand back and say, what I want to do for Him is allow His Spirit to transform me into His image, who is the image of God. Pour His love into me. Do His work in me. Do whatever He wants to with me. Mold me into what You want me to be. You're the potter, I'm the pot. Just mold me. You do it. I'm your workmanship. It isn't us working for Him. It's Him working through us, people. Worst thing that a person can do is to set up your own list of what you want to do and do. What you have to do for God. And then be successful at it. We sometimes deal with the four circles, which kind of encompasses all the church denominations and movements that are out there. And we noted that there are four different things. First of all, there is a moral righteousness, generally the Baptist. And then there is the knowledge, the Bible church, knowing and learning. And then there is the charismatic group. And then there is the serving God. You got to serve God. The moral righteousness is a great control of the body. The knowledge is a great control of the mind. The charismatic, great control of the emotion. And then the service, a great control of the life. And that appeals to us. I do this for God. It's our basic instinct, people. Basic instinct just carried over into the spiritual realm. It's a basic instinct as unbelievers carried over into the spiritual religious realm. And by basic instinct, I want to perform. You've not changed anything. You've just changed the subject matter and the sphere that you work in your basic instincts. It's the worst thing that can happen to be successful at your moral righteousness and never really see your need. I met with and I'm going to continue meeting with a group of men who are recovering addicts and drugs or alcohol or both. And we touched upon this Sunday and they just grabbed hold of it that a person that has really sees who and what they are, that they're no good. They're ready for the truth. They're ready to hear. You should have seen these men Sunday. As opposed to somebody whose list of what they're doing for God is their moral righteousness and they're successful at it. I'm great with God. Somebody whose thing with God is knowledge of doctrine. Boy, I know so much and I'm learning. And every day I don't miss a day without reading or taking a tape or doing something. And boy, God and I are uptight because I'm doing my part. Then there's a charismatic. I have this second blessing every day. And then there's a service. I serve God from morning till night. But when you fail and you realize that you're a failure, then you're ready to hear the truth. But to be successful is the worst thing that can happen. Best thing is to fail. See, Romans 7 is when Paul failed. Romans 7, Paul failed. Romans 7, he said, what did he end up with? Boy, he ended up with a cry from the heart. Oh, wretched man that I am. I am really bad. I thought I was pretty good. See, like some of these people, boy, I thought I was pretty good on this moral thing until I really fail. I thought I was really good on this knowledge thing until I realized I don't have, it seems like I never have enough understanding and I'm trying to learn more and more and on and on and on. Romans chapter 7, Paul failed and he said, oh, wretched man that I am. Let's look at verse 11. Therefore remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision. What do we have here? Let me put this in another word for you. Who are so-called non-performers by those who perform. It's a performance standard. Okay? These are things performed on the flesh by human hands. Verse 12. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world. Let's close with one more passage. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2, please. And then this will end. For those of you in the study of stress, anxiety, and depression, this will end our study in regard to basic instincts. This is all I can afford on this, but at least gives you a feel of understanding a lot of your own stress and anxiety and depression. Look at me at 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we'll just read it. Verse 12, it goes with our study in Jude. 2 Peter, what did I say? Timothy. No, 2 Peter. Chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 12. But these, like unreasoning animals, born as creatures of instinct, to be captured and killed, reviling where they have no knowledge. Now, who are they reviling? They're reviling Satan, letting Satan have it, with all the destruction of those creatures also be destroyed. And what destroys us? The law. We saw that in Jude. That parallels the Jude study. Okay, that takes care of that. Now, next week we'll start up with this 30-second thing. And we're pretty close to ending this study, and I'm sorry, but I got to move on to Job. But let's close now in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the God you are. You take into consideration our basic instincts. And as horrible as they are, you just smile and say, here's grace. Here's love. Just come to me and accept it by faith. That's all we have to do. Father, if we could just grasp and abide, as Christ says, abide in your love, there'd be no stress, there'd be no depression, there'd be no looking around, there'd be no guilt, there'd be no shame, there'd be no arrogance, there'd be no self-pity, there'd be peace and joy if we just learned to abide in your love. And I pray, Father, you'll give me in the teaching at this church over the internet and tapes the wherewith, Father, to teach abiding in his love. What that means and the dynamics of it and the effect of it in our lives. No matter where we live, no matter what we do, no matter how poor, how rich, how unimportant or important we are in the world, but to abide in his love. To enjoy this life. Praise you, Heavenly Father, in your Son's precious name. Amen.